Hey guys, this is Nikki.
This is Sam.
Welcome back to So What? What's Next?
I spent the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby. With me, you ain't never gotta struggle. I'm in the game, 650. Catch a triple double. Watch it tumble. Tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. This is coming in. Keep on tumbling. Watch it tumble. Tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.
Hey Sam, how goes it?
Hey Nikki, how you been?
Man, it feels like it's been a good minute since we last recorded because it has.
It has.
Good to see you. Always good to catch up with you offline and online. But life on this side has been great. 2023 is off to a great start. I apologize in advance, being that I had to update my retainers. I went from the clear Invisalign retainers to now with the metal retainers. So it's a little bit different. However, comma, we're not going to let that hold us back. We're going to get through today's pod. And we're going to make the magic happen. What's going on your side?
Not much, not much. Finally back podcasting. I think I hadn't podcast since, Sunday I did one. But before then, it had been months. So finally back doing that again, you know. And we're going to keep it where it's able to be listened to and not no shock value. So.
Look, I know, you know, you guys just recorded for Listen Up Pod. So I know you guys have your spring preview out there because the spring game is coming. But we'll get more consistent on our end because, you know, life be lifing and we got to keep up with it. So, you know, I'm just happy to be on this side of the ground. But, you know, a lot of things have happened since our last connect. I know that we've been watching TV. I know there's been multiple sports headlines. Social media is doing what it does best in recycling multiple topics. But the one that I think intrigued us the most was, you know, most of the sports headlines that are coming out roughly between NBA winding down to the playoffs. And then, of course, free agency in the NFL. So we know there's been a lot of people dilly dallying and trying to figure out where they're going to go. Aaron Rodgers is again part of the saga of where he's going to end up.
Him and Brett Favre had the exact same career. It's really amazing.
The person he doesn't want to be is the person he's exactly like. Isn't that crazy?
It's just crazy how life works like that.
Full circle moment. But I think the one in free agency that really got us going right now is the Lamar Jackson situation with the Baltimore Ravens. What's your take on some of the stuff you're seeing, hearing? And I know you're going to hit us with something left field, but just want to throw it out there to see what you're thinking about.
So it dawned on me about, I think, this week when he said he requested a trade on March the 2nd, I was like, you know what? Lamar Jackson do not want to be in Baltimore. He just don't want to play in Baltimore. I don't think this is a contract dispute, to be honest with you. I think he genuinely do not want to play in Baltimore anymore.
Why do you say that?
Because nothing makes sense anymore. Because he's saying that they gave him a guaranteed contract of like $44 million for like 3 years, which that's a lot of money, right? I mean, it's not $54 million, but $44 million would have put him over Patrick Mahomes, right?
Okay.
Yeah. No, it would put him right up underneath him. Pat gets 46, I think. So he'd be at 44.
And he'll be right. He'll definitely be top three as far as
he'd be top three on yearly pay as a quarterback position. So that made me say, okay, he definitely don't want to be there. And then when you really think about it, it's like, okay, he negotiated 3 years, $44 million, didn't turn around, didn't want to sign that. So now I'm just thinking all together, like, you know what, this dude don't really want to be there. And I think both parties is trying to save face. You know, where one side don't want to look like they the bad guy, and the other side don't want to look like they the bad guy. And I honestly believe he don't want to be there. Because I think if he wanted to be there, I think they do want him to be there. I think they would pay him what he want to get paid. And I think every time they come up with a number, he just shakes his head at it and just be like, I don't know.
What do you take from the tweets he dropped yesterday, right? Where I think he dropped three tweets where he basically said, hey, we sat down, I asked them, you know, for XYZ. We met a couple of times, we couldn't agree on the numbers. So on March 2nd, I asked them to trade me. And you know, long story short, he says, I want to be in Baltimore, I love Baltimore. But basically said, you know, hit me up. I think, you know, a lot was made out of that, a lot of projection, number one. But what do you think about Lamar basically trying to go on the offensive now after the media melee has already happened around this whole free agency for him?
But that's why I feel like he don't want to be there, right? Like, I mean, it's a couple things that don't make any sense to me with Lamar, right? Once he won the MVP, they could have started negotiating his 3-year, once he got to his year three, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, if you got a chance to negotiate in your year three to start guaranteeing yourself an extra $25 million a year until you get to your, till he runs out his rookie contract, why wouldn't you do that? You know what I'm saying? Like they're basically showing these numbers saying that Josh Allen has made almost $40-50 million more to him and was drafted in the same draft as him, right?
Yeah, same year. Mm-hmm.
Same year. So, but Josh Allen made more money to him. Why? Because Josh Allen went to the negotiating table in year three. They were like, okay, we're going to pay you how much you want, blah, blah, blah. They gave him his money. You know what I'm saying? They said Lamar
didn't start negotiating.
He didn't even negotiate last year or the year before. He was just saying, I need a new contract.
Well, I think it was put out there that he was trying to, right? I don't know how well the negotiations were going to the point where he basically said, we have to table this, right? I think that was basically what happened, where they were starting to have the conversations. They weren't able to agree on anything. They said, okay, the season's about to start. I think, number one, if this is coming from Lamar's camp, it took they waited far too late to want to start having those conversations, unless they were just under the impression they were going to get the number that they wanted. And they started it like, what, a month before the season started?
It was like they tabled the conversation. Well, my thing is, why wouldn't they have negotiated this earlier so he could have made more? He would have made more money.
Do you think this is because he doesn't have an agent? Or do you think this is because he doesn't have an agent?
I think he wanted his contract run out. He don't want to be there. It's the only thing to me that logically makes sense, right? Because if the NFL owner said, "Hey, I'm not going to pay you what Deshaun Watson got paid," okay, I'm not going to pay you more than Patrick Mahomes, right? I think once the owner say that to you, if the owner said it to you, I don't know the owner said this to him, but if the owner said it to him, well, then there's nothing really else to discuss, right? So If Lamar floats it through the media, the Ravens floated through the media and say, hey, you know, we negotiate, we trying to come up to a price. You're not going through an agent. So if you're not going through an agent, it seems to me that the conversation would be pretty open and closed, right? It'd be like Tunsil deal. Tunsil was like, hey, I want to be the highest paid tackle. They just made the highest paid tackle. Like, how many years? We're going to give you 3 years. Okay, I'll take this. That's what he did. And now he the highest paid tackle. He negotiated his own contract. So it's not like, I don't think Lamar not having an agent is a problem. Now, I do think him not having an agent is a problem because, to me, Lamar should be a bigger face of the NFL like these other quarterbacks are, right? Like Baker Mayfield shouldn't be taking to have more commercials than Lamar Jackson, right? You know what I'm saying? I think that's where him not having an agent is a problem. In my opinion,
I think Bobani Jones made a really, really, really good point on his show on Game Theory. He basically said, you know, it's not an issue about Lamar having an agent or not, right? It's basically what happens is the machine starts building and the narrative starts going. So obviously the owners are colluding, right? Because for people to even say before he declares he's a free agent or that he's asking for this money, for different teams and owners to come out and say, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson or we're not participating mm-hmm. in this free agency, was kind of like, okay, where the hell is this coming from? And then number two, they're building this narrative that he's difficult to work with, or he's being a prima donna, or he hasn't won anything. So it's like this machine continues to build. And Bomani said it clearly that, you know, this is why you have agents. This is why you have a team. It's worth that, right, you know, 2 to 5% where you can have someone go out there and combat the narrative that's being put out there by the owners or being put out there by different individuals. When you have an agent that can, you know, also plant seeds and be able to, you know, barter and negotiate and talk on your behalf, which again, I think ultimately there is a benefit to having an agent. I think that they are just trying to find any reason to nitpick at the situation. There's been plenty of agents, athletes in the NBA, in the NFL that don't go the conventional agent route, right? They have an attorney, they have someone on their side, on their team that deals in entertainment law, that deals in contract laws, that deal with, you know, athletes consistently. So they know what to look for, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go and get this individual who's marketing, basically a degree in marketing, on top of all the work they put in to become an agent. That's why they're good at their jobs, right? I also feel that with all the narratives that are put out there, it's just too much for Lamar to try to combat all of that. And I think now he's basically saying, you know, pay me what I'm worth. The problem that we're running into is that I think there are teams that would like to pay him, but not the number that he's looking for, or at least not fully guaranteed. Where owners, what is that? Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, is already saying, like, hey, we don't do fully guaranteed over here. And on top of that, Justin Herbert and his team are already putting out things around what they're looking for a contract. And he's asking for almost the same amount as Lamar, but not 100% guaranteed, but close to it. I think it was like 85% or 90% guaranteed.
I mean, but you can negotiate the guarantees. You can negotiate the guarantee. Like, you can come in and say, hey, if I play 15 games, if I start 15 games, bump me up to $15 million. You know what I'm saying? You could put guarantees in the, like, it may not be guarantees per se, but they could be easy, achievable things in your contract where to get you to the $40, $50 million that you're looking for. But I think with Lamar in particular, I think the two problems is that it's similar to Deshaun, is that Deshaun forced his way out of Houston, right? Deshaun forced his way. Remember, we didn't even know about all this other stuff with Deshaun. Deshaun came out and said, hey, I want to trade. Then when Deshaun said he wanted to be traded out of there after he signed that deal, what happened? All these women came. All this stuff with these women came up. You know what I'm saying? Deshaun was like, well, I don't care about that stuff. I'm still not playing. Just sit me out. And remember, he sat out 2 full years. Like, you got to remember, Deshaun didn't play for two. He didn't play 1 year. Then he didn't play the next year. Then he came back, was traded, and he was suspended for almost the whole year. So Deshaun down there sat out almost 3 years of football. Right, I don't think the NFL owners want players forcing themselves out of contracts when they don't sign long-term deals. And I think they definitely don't want their quarterbacks doing it. And I don't think they want to set the precedent of, like the NBA got with all this player movement, when every time somebody get upset and they decide they want to leave a franchise, I don't think they're going to allow let Deshaun do it, then turn back around and let Lamar do it. That's a bad precedent to set. They don't want to set that type of precedent. I think that's the only thing to me that makes it similar.
So what does this say about the Ravens? Do they believe in Lamar? Do they not? Are they hesitant? What's the hesitation here on doing it? I know you said nobody really does it, but I mean, just because nobody does it doesn't mean it's not possible or it's not doable. What's the holdup here between the Ravens and, excuse me, what are you thinking, they're thinking about Lamar in the future, him being a quarterback?
I think the Ravens think they're going to get 2 first-round picks, which they're probably going to get. And if they can trade him to another team outside of that, off that tag, if they can rescind the tag, sign him off that tag and trade him, they think they can get probably 2 first-round picks and maybe a 2, right? And knowing the Ravens, because they believe in their ability to draft players, they'll probably just draft a quarterback. I don't think they personally care. I don't think it's that deep anymore. I think it's pretty cut and dry. Like, at first I kind of thought, dang, maybe Lamar, you know, maybe the Ravens ain't want to pay him, don't want to pay him. But in the NFL, like, every all the quarterbacks get paid. Like, they all get paid. Like, even the sorry ass ones get paid. So that's what kind of made
me. Yeah, it's not about getting paid. It's the value, yeah. Right? I think, you know, getting paid is one thing, but getting paid what you're worth is another, right? I think, you know, ultimately, what do you think? You're asking me, but I'm biased. I'm biased, though. Okay. I would give him the money.
We like Lamar, okay? We like Lamar, right?
Yeah, if you're going off of me as a fan, you pay him the money. If you're coming to me
so what do you pay him?
Then? I pay him. I go in for a 3-year deal. 3 years. Okay. I scale it up. I tier it up. I give him tier one, tier two, tier three, right? I probably guarantee at least 80-85% of the money, and I tier it up through incentives, right? You make the Pro Bowl, you hit these benchmarks as far as touchdowns, you get these many yards. I tier it up, right?
So then Lamar said, "Hey, I don't want to have to hit these benchmarks. I want to be able to go into the season, and I want you to give me $50 million.
How much is that worth to you to have a quarterback that's not worried about somebody being over his shoulder? How much is that worth to you? Is it worth the $50 million a year? Because you got to beat what? Cincinnati. You got to beat who else? Who else is in their division? You got to beat Cleveland, Cincinnati, and who else? I'm saying, how much is it worth to you to win your division? How much is it worth to you to win a Super Bowl, right? I think the other thing Lamar has to take into consideration is if he takes that much money, how much talent are they going to surround him with? How much money are they going to have left available to bring in some talent for him to throw to? But, you know, I know we got a couple of other things we got to press on, but I want to see here. Do you think Lamar plays for the Baltimore Ravens under a new guaranteed contract that he wants next year? Yes or no?
No. I think he's going to be in Florida somewhere playing football. Close to
everybody got him going to the Bucs.
He's gonna be either in Florida. Yeah, I think he's gonna be in Florida. I think he ended up at either the Bucs. I always kind of thought Miami was like kind of.
No, Stephen Ross is so in love with Tua. He's so in love with Tua. That's why Flores is gone, because Flores wanted Deshaun, and Stephen Ross said no, we're gonna stick with Tua. And I think they're so in love with him, which, you know. Again, as a Dolph fan, I am not going to publicly condemn their decisions. But, you know, it is what it is, man. I don't think he plays under the contract that he desires next year, but I do believe he does play with probably 90% of the money guaranteed.
And if I was a GM, I wouldn't mind getting a 2 first-round picks. I feel like I'm going to get 2 seasons out of him anyway.
I mean, it works into your favor, right? That's why I said you give a 3-year contract, you front load it, but you put those tiers in, right? That's my recommendation, if you ask me as a GM. As a fan, I just like, give him all the money. Give him whatever he wants. But this is why I'm not paid to make those decisions. But as we're talking about Florida, you know, the group chat gives me hell because I am one of the biggest Miami Heat fans. And we are currently, I think at the time of recording, we are in 6th place. We are, right above the play-in round. You know, how's this NBA season going for you? Are you feeling, you know, this
not the most aggravating NBA season of all time? Like, is this not the most aggravating NBA season?
I think it's so unpredictable. Like, if somebody would have told me that Golden State would have this losing record on the road, you know, them winning at home is kind of like a no-brainer, but their road record is terrible. If somebody would have told me that Miami Heat wouldn't have picked up any additions to the team outside of Kevin Love, which hasn't really been a real addition, like, I would call you a liar. Yeah. You know, I don't understand some of the things that are happening in the NBA. I feel like there's little to no defense being played, which we already knew, but now it's kind of like nobody's playing defense, right? Like, there's no real opposition. People are dunking on Giannis. What is happening? Like, I don't know what you know, necessarily change the tide, but there's been a shift. You know, we're focusing more on what happens off the court than on the court. What's kind of some of your hot takes of what's going on this NBA season?
Man, the Warriors thing is so aggravating, but I think it's just a change of the guard, Nikki. I think we're starting to see a change of the guard. I think some of these stars of the NBA, I think it's the game starting to kind of catch up with them a little bit. Some of the young guys starting to catch up a little bit. I do think the stars are going to win a champ. One of the teams with a star is going to win a championship, but I do think I just think it's been a change of the guard right now, and it is aggravating to watch some of this, you know, because these guys do not care about playing defense, like none of them.
None. I mean, we were watching. I forgot who we were watching, and it's like nobody even tries to contest and go into the paint. It feels like everybody comes down the court. They try to set up an offense, and then boom, they shoot a three. It feels like every time you're thinking that this is going to be a good game, it ends up being a trash game because nobody's really playing any, like I said, any true defense. I think, you know, we're so enamored and so engulfed with what's going on with these players, again, off the court, that we can't even appreciate truly when we do get a good game, right? I think even the LeBron saga, right? Anthony Davis is actually playing more, which is crazy that he's actually active. LeBron came.
He can play 10 games in 25 days. It's about to be a wrap for him when he gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to have to shut him down. Literally, he's going to like literally short circuit. Like he's gonna collapse and literally be like, hey, y'all figured out. LeBron breaks the scoring record for the NBA where he passes Kareem, and then a day or two later now his ankle or his foot's hurt and he sits out. Lakers start winning again. They start going on this streak where AD's dropping like 25 plus dropping double doubles like crazy, and then LeBron comes back and the Lakers start losing, right? it's like what's happening here, right? You know, I think I joke about it for the last 2 years, but this season, the writers for the NBA have really been lackluster. Like, I felt like the last 2 years, the writers were like really in their bag, but it just feels like, you know, this year the writers just took, you know, they jumped the shark. They took some time off. The storylines ain't hitting like they used to.
Dallas Mavericks was winning games, then they traded and got Kyrie. Now they back to losing. Now they losing.
But they lost 4 or 5 in a row, right? Luka said, "Get this black man off my team."
And I don't blame Kyrie for that. For the record, I just find it funny.
I find it funny that the correlation is ever since he got there, they started losing. But you know, I don't. I will say this much. Normally, you know, after All-Star break, I am all in on the NBA. Like, I am, like, knee-deep in the games, trying to figure out where the Heat's going to be in the East. I think, you know, again, I think Boston, I will, you know, never cheer for Boston, but I think they're doing a decent job, you know, running out in the East. I think they are literally the ones to contend with. Philadelphia kind of has gone by the wayside, right? With Embiid and, you know, him being hurt, him being healthy, whatever's going on in that situation. It just feels like there's truly no one who you can say, hey, I feel like they're going to make a strong run in the playoffs and win it all. I don't have anybody that I can say that about.
I kind of low-key wish Philly would actually win a championship. I would like that for Embiid, but I don't know, man. They just feel like they feel like the New York Knicks in the 90s. Like, yeah, they do some good things, but I don't think they're going to win anything.
Yeah, I mean, even the Knicks, right? The Knicks went on like a crazy run. Didn't they win like 10-something in a row? I can't remember. My dad, of course, you know, the biggest Knicks fan I know, talks crazy about it, you know. But when the Heat, I know they beat the Heat once, and then they played like a couple of days later, then the Heat beat them. But even, you know, talk in on the West, like I think the team that's making the most noise on the Western Conference is the Kings. The Kings are literally, you know, coming out winning. And I think that's the surprise of the season. But I can't say, hey, here's the front runner for the winner this year. I can't call it. I don't know. But maybe Adam Silver you know, revamps the team and starts getting some good writers for the playoffs and start making us feel something on the inside again.
I'm curious on what's going to happen. I do feel like we're going to get some surprises. I do think we get, you know, if KD never got hurt, I really kind of thought the Suns was going to take it, but he got hurt. So now I'm kind of like, you don't have enough time to get in the playoffs and get back with the team, man, to be able to do what he got
to do. We didn't have enough time to be excited about that. He gets over there and like literally sprains his ankle during warm-ups. Like,
It's insane. So
we don't have time to even celebrate these things.
Yeah, we in wait and see mode with that. So, but let's get down to your topic. My topics are out of the way. Let's get to
you want to get into our pop culture.
yeah, let's get to your stuff.
Okay, we can do that. So one of my concerns is that we as a people, even more specific, we as Black people, I want to understand that why every time we see a headline or we see a post about something, just because there's a picture with bold headlines or bold captions around it, we automatically believe it. That puzzles me. I'm slightly bewildered because there have been so many things that have happened. I'll even say, and I know that this is a sensitive topic, but even going back to the Tory Lanez trial, when, you know, we were getting all these headlines about, you know, this doesn't match, and then the gun residue, and this is what happened, or so-and-so vouches that this is the case, and this is what so-and-so is hearing, but we're not getting anything of true value or anything that's coming up from a substantial or a credible source around it. But because it's on Say Cheese or Rap House TV, allegedly these things are supposed to be true. And I was just talking to the group chat the other day. They dropped something in the group chat around, I think somebody was getting a divorce or somebody was breaking up or something of that nature. And I'm like, hey, where were these accounts 2-3 years ago? Right? The accounts that are giving us all this news or blasting out all these, you know, false headlines or fictitious, misleading, dramatic headlines. Like, were these accounts that existed a year ago? It feels like deep fakes. It feels like artificial intelligence has truly taken over and said, hey, here's what Black people will read and believe and go with. And we're going to post something salacious so we can get that engagement. Right. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have to literally combat things in multiple group chats. Like, no, this is not what happened. Here's what actually happened. Right? Have we moved that far in society that we just believe captions and headlines without validating or seeking a credible source?
Man, Nikki, graphics got the Black community in a chokehold. That's just true. it's people... They putting up great graphics, you know, acting like they great entrepreneurs that still stay with their mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the graphic game got the Black community in the chokehold. We just have to be honest about this. I have personally blocked all the No Jumper, Rap House, these Say Cheese, all these accounts. I'm done. I think they are all there to distract the Black community. And I know that's some conspiracy shit, but that's what I believe. I firmly believe this stuff. Like who is sending videos in to these people of people fighting? Like, where are they getting these videos from? Where's this stuff coming from? Is somebody jacking somebody's phone and then posting these videos of people just brawling at high schools and brawling at middle of clubs? Like where is this stuff coming from? It doesn't make any sense.
It's so random to me. Like, okay, I ain't even gonna hold you. Sometimes I like to see the little fight videos, right? Sometimes I like to see the little fight videos. I ain't even gonna hold you. But I also feel that, again, that's why I say I feel like these accounts are ran by non-Black people, or these accounts are, you know, set up to cause discourse, within, you know, different, you know, communities within different demographics for men or women. And like some of the stuff is kind of cute, right? Because culturally there are things where, you know, we can identify with, right? Where we say, oh, we all grew up the same, or we all have the same experience as Black people, right? And then there's right. other things where it's like, you know, somebody said, oh, a video that's on Twitter that says homeless man was given a whole pound of weed to sell on the street, right? Yeah. Like, and then there's a video to accompany that. Like, what are we promoting? What are we putting out there? Or remember the Travis Kelce story where somebody stated that, you know, when he was with Kayla Nicole, that she had to pay for dates, or that the whole time they were together, he only spent like $100 on her or something of that, of that nature. I'm like, number one, why do we need to know that? Number two, why do you think that's true? And number three, how does this impact you? Right? Like, I'm just like, why?
That to be true.
Why do we feel the need to defend rich people? Like, you know, I think, who was that? That was you who put it on the timeline today, right? Like, what makes Black people go conservative? Or at what point?
At what point?
Right. And when you see these different posts around, you know, a woman that took advantage of a rich Black man, and it took advantage, please understand, I have the bunny ears, the parentheses around that. Like, you know, you go up for that. Like the whole debacle last week over Sierra's dress, right? Mm. Like all these things, that woman went to a party, she dressed for the theme, and there were 900 different tangents around, is she a good wife? And what respectable woman wears this outside? And all these other different things. Right. Again, things that do not impact your household, but yet and still you see it, and you're like, oh, my wife would never do that. Well, your wife's not going to be Sierra either. Like, right. The first thing you see is a graphic, you see a picture, you see a headline, and then everybody runs with it. Everybody projects and then becomes a topic for the next 2 to 3 days. So at what point do we say, hey, let's make this make sense? Like, if I see a headline, instead of just believing it automatically, let's let it play out. You know, I think we're dealing with that right now with the whole Jonathan Majors thing, right? He got arrested over the weekend for domestic violence, and immediately people went to, oh, his career is done, it's over. Then it went to, oh, he called 911 first? Oh, so she must have faked and said that he hurt her, but then she shows up with bruises and different things, and now it's like he's been charged with a misdemeanor.
Yeah, he got charged with a misdemeanor today, yeah. But that was
correct.
Yesterday.
And then they're like, oh, she recanted her story. And I'm like, oh my God. If you really read statistics and understand how often this happens,
right,
you will understand that just because someone recants their story or they decline to, you know, press charges, that there are other moving parts involved, and that maybe there may be money involved. There may be a payoff. There may be some clarity. They may be there. Yeah. There may be mental health issues. But why don't we just take a moment and realize that two people are going through something, and the last thing they need is more fodder over what happened or how it happened or what was the impetus of it happening. But you know, that was kind of,
we cannot say nothing though, Nikki. We cannot have an opinion about that until we get all the information.
They said it's free to shut the fuck up. Like, literally, it costs you nothing. Okay. To be quiet. It legit costs you nothing to be quiet.
What I do find weird, I'm gonna be honest with you. I think something's weird about Jonathan Majors. It's my opinion, okay? I ain't saying a man or woman beat her. I don't know what the man do, but to me, it's something off there, right? I don't know, but I'm not saying that he does. I don't know what he does. It's just something off. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he does something weird, like eat a rat one day on TV or something. Like, it's nothing surprising.
What?
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's something off with him. It's just something off. Like, I can't put my... But, like, a lot of, like, really good actors, like, they do dumb... They do weird... They be weird. They be kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Like...
Yeah, remember so, that Armie Hammer dude? The Armie Hammer actor that was a cannibal? That was, like, literally beating his girlfriend up and, like, drinking her blood and eating her flesh?
Yeah,
you have not seen Armie Hammer since then. Since then, because a lot of them,
They do weird stuff.
I'll be honest and tell you that, you know, with Jonathan Majors, like, I was proud to see, you know, him in these last couple of projects and different things. I did not pay attention to him until Lovecraft Country. That was my first reckoning of saying, oh, wow, he's really talented. Then there were a couple of other projects on Netflix. Then, you know, he signed on to do the Marvel movies. And, you know, like, there's a whole bunch of things that happen. And I think that Hollywood puts a machine behind certain people, right? Like, you know, the marketing starts saying, oh, this is the new it guy and this is the new talent and he's going to be signed up for these different projects. And then you only hear the good. And if there's anything negative out there about them, there's a whole team that sweeps the internet, or they sweep, you know, through publications to make sure that there's no negative press, no negative story, because they have to protect their investment. Right. But it was kind of alarming where, you know, I think it always happens where whenever Black women starts to put somebody on a pedestal, when something negative happens or something comes out about it, then we get bashed for supporting him, but we're not allowed the grace or the opportunity to change our opinion or our thoughts or our feelings once we're presented with new information, right?
No, it was funny because this one girl was on the time, you know, she's so disappointed. And then she was like, I could see it because he tried to act like he's so nice and so soft. Those be the real ones that really do the. I'm like, lady, you don't know him.
You don't know these people.
You don't know him.
You have no idea what they do. You have no idea what they do in the dark. Hell, you don't know what they do in the light. You don't know what they do during the day. Like, you have no idea. I think everybody, you know, was just enamored with his dedication to training for Creed 3. I think, you know, with Michael B. Jordan being the director, also acting in it, I think their marketing and media campaign was flawless. So you only saw the positives. And of course, you know, with the movie with Ant-Man and Quantumania, I feel that, you know, there was nothing but good pub behind him. But people will always show their true colors. You can only hide it for so long. And this may be, you know, another layer that we see about him, that he's abusive, that, you know, this is not his first domestic violence instance. Right. People have made claims against him before and it never went anywhere. Now they're basically saying, finally, I feel vindicated, you know. But again, I think to the heart of it, you know, I don't want anybody to be harmed. I don't want anyone to be on the receiving end of any punches or chokes or slapping or anything like that, because I think it's rumored or that he allegedly choked her. And, you know, that's where a lot of those bruises came from. But needless to say, I think soon as you heard he was arrested and what it was for, it literally became, oh, he's done with, he's over. And, you know, he's done within these, you know, movies. And people are like, do you guys not know who Robert Downey Jr. is? Like, do you not know that literally, literally, as he was spiraling, he was selected as the one person who was going to hold up Iron Man and all the other tangents and movies and things that were attached to that, and had a full redemption story, a full redemption arc, a redemption arc that went so well that people forgot what a piece of shit he was before. So for people to literally say, oh, Jonathan Majors is over, it's done with, I'm like, no, we already know what happened. He apologizes. He goes to rehab. He donates to domestic violence abuse victim,
like a year or two.
Charities. Like a year. He takes some time away. We see him in another 6-7 months, you know, and it's a full campaign of, you know, basically fixing all these different things, right? But needless to say, I just, you know, don't understand why our immediate reaction is to create 900 think pieces and, you know, have 400 tweets about people we know, I have no idea about.
Right. You know, and I think I think in this day and age too, no matter how many times you say it, people don't listen to this, but you know, people are layered, you know, people are all not one note, you know what I'm saying? So people struggle with things and people deal with things and there are quirks and kinks to everybody, you know, including your celebrity that you're putting all your faith and love and dreams on. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be weird. You know what I'm saying?
No, 100%. 100%. Because the first thing that people say is that, you know, I think just us as people, we want to identify with celebrities. We want to be celebrity adjacent. And not meaning that we want the fame necessarily, but we see ourselves with some of the same qualities and attributes as these celebrities, and that puts us next to them, or we're in the same realm, or we're in the same, you know, space with them. And I think the thing that's so disparaging here is that people have a disturbed perception of themselves. And because of that, they basically say, oh, I would never do that, or I would never do this, or, you know, if I was this person, I would never do that. In reality, you don't know what you would do in that situation until you're presented with it. I think my macro point to this whole thing is I just want us to do the research. I want us to not believe a headline just because it's on, you know, these particular gossip blogs or these different sites. I want us to really take the time to understand that people are involved in these headlines, and you don't know how this impacts them, especially since everyone's making such a concerted effort around mental health, right?
Right.
The last thing that people who are going through a tumultuous time, the last thing that they need is for our our opinions on what they're going through. Or, better yet, our ability to separate reality from the truth, and getting down to, you know, what's really happening or what's really going on, because it's really none of our business.
Yeah, and I think I don't know when it became. And I talked to somebody about this the other day ago. We talking about actors and we talking about musicians and things. I like, you know, people get mad about the older people, how they talk about some of these new people that are doing these acting and doing some of this music and different things. And I was, that's because like somebody like a Denzel or somebody like a Samuel Jackson, you know, they're all about the art form. You know what I'm saying? They're all about the art. Like, just know me for my art. Don't know me for nothing else. Don't just know me for my art. And now it's like, to be an actor, a musician, you have to be like this all-encompassing influencer. You have to be everything. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of, and that just seems to me kind of weird that they doing this, but that's what people buy into, like this big mega brand thing. And it's like, it's taken away from the art. So we don't really have a lot of great artists left. You know what I'm saying? We just got these flashing and pans, like
content creators that desire to go viral.
And they just come and they go, you know, cause like, if I see one more video of Ice Spice casually just walking up a stage, putting her hand up in the air, it's like, drive me crazy. I'm like, yo, what is she doing? Like, what's going on here? Like, what are we doing? What's talent?
Nobody cares about talent anymore.
But yeah.
No. I mean, again, I know it's not going to stop anytime soon, but it does start to get a little bit more annoying. And with the way Twitter is going, you know, Elon's about to blow all of this up anyway. So would you be willing to pay the $7 a month to be on Twitter?
I don't know, Nikki. Like, sometimes I say, nah. But $7 for a form of entertainment, I mean, I would pay $7 for entertainment.
I mean, I pay what, $15 for Netflix? I pay $15 for Netflix.
I mean, people keep saying that, like, no way nobody pay for social media. Nobody pay for social media. I don't think that's true, man. I think they got us.
So let me ask this. What's the max you would pay? I think we agree that if it's a certain dollar amount, we would pay for it. But what would be the price that would make you say, oh, hell no?
I think once you get into like $20 a month, $30 a month, $40 a month, I think I'm out. At that point, I'm out. I would not pay for Instagram though. I wouldn't pay for Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok. I wouldn't pay for any of those.
The only two I would pay for right now would be Twitter and TikTok. Like I would pay for those right now. And I say that because a lot of the individuals that are on these platforms have podcasts, right? And they also have Patreons. So at some point, you're going to get to that $20 range. If you pay $5 for Twitter, you're already paying Apple, you know, XYZ in order to access their platforms. Excuse me, let's say $3.
Yeah.
So you're already at $8. You pay maybe $5 for the Patreon, which is $13, right? So you're already hitting almost $15 for some of these apps, which,
and I think what people forget, there was a time in this country where we was like, if no way in hell I'm paying for water. That's crazy. Why would I pay for water? That's the dumbest thing. That's the dumbest thing ever. Right, that was a time when people were like, I'm not paying.
There was a time when people did not want to pay for the city punch.
There was also a time. Why did
Because you ain't supposed to be in here.
Chance say no cuss words. Tell him I'm sorry.
All right, be quiet. I'm almost done. Okay. So and there was also a time when people was not gonna pay for subscription music. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was gonna pay for subscription music. They're like, oh, I'd just rather just go buy the album. I'm not paying for no $10.99, $7.99 a month for a catalog of music.
That's it. I mean,
we say we won't pay for, but they know what we'll pay for.
They know because they're all in it together as well, right? So one service is not gonna, if one service starts charging, then guess what? Everybody else is gonna do it, right? It's already an agreement that this is gonna happen. So I know we got to get out of here. So I want to pivot to our last topic before we're out. So again, there was a tweet that I sent you. Me and my honey were talking about it, and long story short, there was this gentleman that basically went on to list his preferences around dating. And one of the things he said is that he feels that professionals, meaning people with salaries and degrees, by his definition, should date other professionals. Relationships tend to work out better that way. Which then caused another tangential conversation where another gentleman said, you know, that rich auntie shit that y'all want to promote is about to be a rude awakening for many women. Keep playing with loneliness while all your friends, family are perfectly happy with their kids and their husband. Traveling, money, etc. is not a substitute for the happiness that love brings. So with that being said, do you agree? Do you believe that professionals, by his definition, having a four-year degree in a salary job, do you believe that more professionals should date other professionals? And number two, do you think that men are becoming more agitated or more riled up now because women are not seeking partnership in the numbers as they have in previous years?
I think so. Okay, that's two. Okay, so the one on the paid professional thing, I do believe professionals should probably date professionals, to be honest with you, right? I think you should date where you want to go, personally. So I do believe in segregation. I'm kind of big on segregation.
What?
You know, I believe in segregating things. You know what I'm saying?
You know, what are we doing?
You know, if there's a crowd of people that you like, that you personally like, I think you should only be around that crowd of people that you like. You know what I'm saying? Just segregate yourself over there. I don't see anything wrong.
Oh my
with that,
god!
You know. I think it gets tricky with degrees. While I don't actually have a problem with it, I think that most time I think it's all about like in my relationship. I gotta say this low, but in my relationship, relationship, right?
You gotta say it. Like, you gotta say it in a different tone. In my relationship,
yeah. In my relationship, I'm more driven to make money, right? I want to make money, make money, make money, make money, right? You know, my lady, she just want to look comfortable. Like, I just want to make enough money that I'm comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, she want to get off at 3. You know what I'm saying? Be off on Saturday, Sunday. She see no reason for all this hustle and bustle, as long as the bills paid, his food on the table. You know what I'm saying? That works right. For me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. But I'm not built like that, right? I want to go earn. And, you know, she give me a good balance with that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say it's kind of difficult, because it's all about balance. Now, as far as the, I think men online, these are in, right? These incels want desperate women. Right. They want desperate women, right? So
okay.
They try to apply all these different things because they want women to be desperate, right? I find that to be like a lack of manliness personally. Cause you shouldn't want anybody in a desperate situation, a cage. Mm-hmm. Anybody up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what that is, personally. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion.
So I'm going to pause you, because you know they're going to say that you are pandering. Look at me. With the bunny ears. They're going to say you're pandering.
Yeah, but I mean, so, because it's funny, because like, in the real world, right, in real life dating, right, if you date somebody that likes you, and this person likes you, right, you know, they're going to make some adjustments to what you kind of like. And, you know what I'm saying? They're going to, something that might be deal breaker, they might say, you could probably leave that on the table. They ain't got to necessarily be a deal breaker. You know what I'm saying? But these people that's constantly putting out what they don't like, or what's hurting women species and all this other stuff. These people want somebody that's desperate. That's what I've come up. That's, because, I mean, you see it from women, too, and they talk about men. Like, I want a man that's doing this, and I want a man that's doing that. Da, 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 da. It's like, okay. Like, nobody talks like that that's in a real relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wants a slave, I don't think.
Ooh. Well, some of them do, apparently, from what we're reading. But I think we have to remember that, you know, the amount of items and things we see on Twitter is just a small microcosm of you know, people that we, you know, happen to engage with. Like, I think that the internet was a good idea, but I honestly don't believe we are meant to engage with this many people with these many opinions on a daily basis. My biggest thing here is, you know, God bless the day, my mom would always say, you have to be equally yoked. I think that from a certain perspective makes sense, right? I also believe that in my personal experience, please note, in my personal experience, things have worked very well when I have dated other professionals, but I don't define professionals by degree and salary per se. I normally say white collar, blue collar. Right. Because they're blue collar workers with degrees, or blue collar workers that have contracts that may make more than salaried employees. I just say, in my preference, my experience working with someone who has a professional background just has yielded better result, better communication. There's a better understanding of how we operate, what we're doing. Things of that nature. Now, I'm not saying that you can't find, you know, your unicorn. You can't find diamond in the rough that exists, that can be everything you're looking for in your person just because they work a blue collar job. I think that, you know, that's what our grandparents did. That's what their parents did, right? Where at one point, these were the only opportunities afforded to Black men to make money were through trades. So I will never knock how someone makes money. I will just say, in my dating experience, it has made for more fruitful or productive relationships, because there's already an understanding of how we operate. The other part of the conversation where, you know, I feel that the narrative is being pushed that you're going to be, you know, lonely. You're going to be the cat lady, right? And I think before that would make a lot of women nervous. That would make a lot of women afraid. But I will even say in my friend circle where I have women friends that literally love their lives. They travel, they date, they, you know, have thriving careers. They are willing to take a chance on love if it's presented. And they can come about it, but it's not something that they're actively seeking. I do also have friends where they are actively seeking their person. They want to be with their man. They want to be with that individual that will be there forever. And I don't think there's wrong with either one of those. But I think when you start projecting that, hey, you're going to be alone, and men don't realize that a lot of women find peace in their solidarity. It is a definitely an eye opener. I have friends that are doctors. I have friends that are nurses. I have friends that are real estate agents, entrepreneurs, you know, from different backgrounds. And ultimately, I will say the majority that are in my circle, you know, they're just having a blast. Some of them are divorced. Some of them are single. Some of them are coming out of long-term relationships, and they're enjoying their freedom. They're enjoying loving themselves and being able to start a new chapter and to not be set back behind it. They're showing resiliency. But there are also instances where sometimes they do have those thoughts or those feelings like, oh my God, what if I don't have kids? Or what if it's too late for me? And the thing that brings them back home is that they have created such a great place for themselves in their mind and in their lives that they're able to recenter, whereas men are no longer the focal point for their happiness or their joy. Which, you know, I applaud, but, you know, you see it more and more where men, and not all men, but men are basically saying in general that, you know, oh, you want to be a city girl, you're going to end up alone, you're not going to find, you know, no man's going to want to be with you, and so on and so forth. And we Sam, we personally know, this is going to sound terrible, so maybe I shouldn't say it, but we personally know that that is not the instance for all people. We know city girls that are now happily married with kids. We know strippers that are we know strippers that are living their best lives as a soccer mom right now.
They get married all the time.
And, you know, it happens all the time. You are 100% correct. But always interesting to see the fodder on social media and how we take one small thing and then it, you know, goes from a molehill to a mountain.
I gotta tell you this before we get out the pod. I think we got 3 minutes left. I gotta tell you this. I was trying to go to sleep last night, but my girl was insistent that I watch a show with her. And the show is called Love is Blind. That show might be the most ridiculous concept I have ever seen in my life.
But isn't it good? It's so good. It's so good to the point where me and my honey were watching it, and then he fell asleep on it. And then the next day, I was like, oh, let me just restart this episode because I fell asleep on it too. And I was tweeting about it. And he was like, you're watching it without me? ? Because we're on season 4 of Love is Blind. And it is so good. It is the most chaotic, toxic thing that I have seen in a long time. And I am so thankful for it.
This girl, this dude was like,
so thankful for it. The whole premise behind the show is falling in love with the person, sight unseen, that you're falling in love with the person on the inside. But the problem is a lot of the contestants haven't dealt with the things on their within their person. Or the things that have happened to them in order to even be looking for love. Like, I think that's the crazy thing about it, that everybody on the show is looking for love, but have not found self-love.
It's too
good. How many episodes did you guys watch, all 3 or 4?
I don't know where she was at, but I watched the one episode where the guy was like basically telling the girl that he loved her, and she was like, oh, I care about you too. Then they come back like 15 minutes later. She's like, I just don't know if I can do this. I need more time to think and da da da. And I'm like, you was just crying in the blanket the other like 15 minutes ago. Now you're back
with the other guy. Like, with the other guy, right?
Yeah. And then the other dude come back and he like, I feel like somebody's in her ear. He's telling her things. I gotta find out who it is. And he's trying to check the dudes in the room. I'm like, people. No one.
That's Marshall. I remember that. I remember that. Oh, sorry, guys. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched already. Spoiler alert if you have not already tuned in. But Love is Blind season 4 premiered on Friday. And honestly, it is so good because now there are more Black people, which I think has been kind of a gripe since season 1, that there hasn't really been a lot of representation from Black people. But this season looks really good. There are two couples that I am rooting for, and that's Marshall and Jackie, and I believe it's Tiffany and Brett. We can get into what we're watching on our next episode and get more in depth around this, but I need you to pay attention to Kwame, who goes by Alex.
I think I do recall Kwame.
Yes. He kept saying, well, I wanted to go by Alex because I don't want people to have preconceived notions of me. And it's basically like, you're going by Alex because you don't want people to know you're Black because your name is Kwame. let's be real. Let's be honest, right?
So I didn't want to say something about that, but I'm going to wait till next episode because I haven't watched it.
You're going to wait till, okay, next episode, we'll do our breakdown.
Go ahead.
By the time we record again, the new episode will be released on Friday. So by our next recording, we should have at least 6 to 8 episodes under our belt where we can do our deep dive into Love is Blind season 4. But
okay, that's
all right. So we're at an hour. We are at an hour. Anything else you got before we get out of here?
Man, I got nothing. It was great catching up with you, friend.
Always good connecting with you, friend. And you know, again, please subscribe to So What's Next. We are using the same handle for Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube. You can catch clips of previous episodes as well as this one. Subscribe, leave us a good rating. If you don't want to leave us a good rating, don't be a hater and leave a negative one because we'll probably erase it. But thanks for tuning in to So What's Next, where we talk about topics that we care about today that we probably won't even care about tomorrow.
I've been wide awake for about a month now, grinding it up. Mama done told me none of these and like, boy, get your ass up. Chewing up, I put in the work now. Blessings counting up. Look at them haters frowning up. So I flex to rile them up. Look at my boss, bending the cars, check my flaws. You can ignore, come to the house, give you a tour. Take your shoes, the dirt on my floor. I let it taste, good. She want it more, she want it more. I let it rain, the blessings coming and pour. Yeah, I spent the bag on a bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make it double. Listen, baby, with me you ain't ever got a struggle. Tumble, I watch you tumble, tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.